This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Shepherd University President Suzanne Shipley came to the school in 2007 after working as Vice President of Academic Affairs at a small university in Baltimore. Before that, she taught for 20 years at universities in Ohio and then in Arizona. But she says she never imagined working in West Virginia. Now, some 8 years later, Shipley has stepped down from her post to take a new position as president of Midwestern State University in Wichita, Texas. She sat down with Liz McCormick to reflect on her time in the Eastern Panhandle.
Randy and I came here and we visited before the process of applying. And we ended up here on a Saturday just as a football game was finishing.
Shepherd University President Suzanne Shipley says the first time she and her husband set foot in Shepherdstown, the Eastern Panhandle community that houses Shepherd University, they instantly knew it was a place they wanted to be.
We walked up and down German Street. We looked in Scheherazade and in a couple of shops, and we just fell in love with the place. You know, it's hard not to.
Her love for the town and the community was just one reason Shipley applied for the post as president of the university 8 years ago. But that quickly translated into a love for the small public liberal arts school, and Shipley began to make changes she hoped would improve it, including turning Shepherd into a COPLAC campus. COPLAC stands for Council of Public Liberal Arts Colleges, a special designation only 29 schools in the nation hold.
And they're generally not more than one per state. And I just felt that Shepherd needed to be a COPLAC institution. We needed that designation and that special status as one of the best.
In 2009, Shipley got her wish, and Shepherd was added into the COPLAC system, which helps the school promote their liberal arts philosophy to not just parents and students, but also lawmakers and other state and national education leaders. Shipley says receiving the COPLAC designation was a triumph, but she says struggles as well. A small school with only around 4,500 students, Shipley says one of the earliest challenges was to create a stronger sense of school pride.
When you teach four classes and you have as few staff as we have to help you and as much to do and as little funding, people just didn't know how far we could really go. And so I felt a lot of my job was to enhance our reputation and our potential. And the first step in that was COPLAC. But then the second step was probably identifying people to help us apply for grants and external funding. Because what I wanted to show the faculty and the staff in the academic areas is that if you get out and compete, you have something other people want.
She says one of Shepherd's current goals is to match its liberal arts strength with professional strength.
We've just had our first PhD program approved, so Shepherd will offer its first doctorate this fall, and that's the Doctor of Nursing Practice.
Shipley says she's excited about where the university's professional fields are going, but they are also focusing in on expanding international programs, recently hiring the university's first director for international initiatives. Over the past few years, state lawmakers have cut the budgets of many universities in West Virginia, and Shepherd was no exception. Shipley says over the last 3 years, Shepherd has seen enrollment drop. New expenses begin to pile up for various projects, along with less support from the state. However, Shipley says things are starting to get better.
So what's happened in the past year is our enrollment has turned around. The state is still reducing its support, but less dramatically than it did. We've paid off the buildings that were part of the utilities and operational focus. The Martinsburg campus has been launched, so we have a new audience of students who are working adults, and that's going well. Our graduate programs are growing.
She says while the budget cuts were difficult, she doesn't feel like the state singled Shepherd out in any way, but that the school got an equal share of the pain.
So I think we have good times and we have bad times as public institutions, and I think that those reductions were really hard for the state to make. But they were locked into very few choices. You can't, in West Virginia, you can't reduce public education in the pre-K to 12 sector. So that leaves roads, prisons, health care, and higher ed. And to balance the budget, they needed to do that.
Despite the struggles that come with leading a small public university in a state that's struggling financially, Shipley says she will miss Shepherd and the community that supports the school so fully.
I'll miss the events with students, faculty, staff, and community all together, whether it be football games or our opening meetings or the parades in town. There's just such a great spirit about our celebrations.
Shipley begins the next chapter of her career at Midwestern State University in her home state of Texas next week. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:49. Partly sunny skies today. There is a chance of rain and thunderstorms in the north. Temperatures in the 80s today. A chance of rain and thunderstorms statewide tonight with lows in the 60s. Partly sunny on Tuesday, but with a chance of rain and thunderstorms in the south. Temperatures remaining in the 80s.
Support for our weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. West Virginia 511 is reporting a vehicle accident in Kanawha County on eastbound I-64 at mile marker 58 in Charleston.
Most Americans think we should have more religion in schools, not less. That's one of the things Trey Kay tells us about in the newest episode of our podcast, Us and Them. This new show is called The Church Lady. Us and Them host Trey Kay is here to tell us more. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Beth.
All right, Trey. So why is it called The Church Lady? Certainly, it makes me think of the character Dana Carvey played on Saturday Night Live. We're not going to hear from him, are we?
No, Beth. There's no superior dance or isn't that special in this show. The church lady is a real person, and she used to visit classrooms in Ohio to talk about the Bible. And we heard about her from a journalist named Linda K. Wertheimer.
But that's not the NPR host Linda Wertheimer, right?
No, it's a different one. This Linda Wertheimer and her family moved to Ohio in the 1970s. Linda was just 9 years old when she met the church lady.
I was sitting in my fourth grade classroom, and in walks this lady, and she's carrying this, it's like a flannel-type bulletin board, and then she starts putting these figures on there. They look kind of like religious figures to me. I wasn't really sure. It has this beautiful man with the long, flowing hair and the beard, like you kind of see in storybook sometimes, and then she'd show his disciples, and she'd show, and here's the sick man, and Jesus is going to heal him. And she made us sing Jesus Loves Me. All the kids around me knew the words to the song, and they were singing Jesus Loves Me very lustily, and I didn't know the words.
It turned out that Linda and her brother were the only Jewish kids in the school.
So did her family complain? What happened?
Well, the Wertheimers considered filing a lawsuit, but they were afraid that they'd be ostracized in the community. So they kept their heads down and just opted to have their kids not participate in the church lady's class. But this was incredibly awkward for Linda. She felt ostracized. It made a deep impression on her, and when she grew up, she decided to research religious education in America. She just finished a book called Faith Ed, Teaching About Religion in an Age of Intolerance.
Well, if this class happened in the 1970s, wasn't that in violation of the Supreme Court rulings about teaching religion in public schools?
Right. Basically, the courts have been clear that religious instruction in classroom violates the First Amendment.
The rulings that say we can't have prayer in schools.
Right. But interestingly, a historian that we talked to on the program points out that you still can pray in schools. Schools just can't lead organized prayers.
You're talking about education historian Jonathan Zimmerman. I was interested to hear him say that back in the day, conservatives and liberals supported religious education in the schools.
Yeah, that might be surprising to some people, because today we think of conservatives advocating for more religion in the public squares and liberals looking to push it away. There was a program called Weekday Religious Education, or WRE, that began in the 1920s, where people like the church lady or pastors or even rabbis would come into schools to teach. John Zimmerman told me the program had ardent champions on the left, especially around the time of World War II.
Lots of people on the left, including but not limited to the civil rights community, wanted religion and prayer and sacrament in school, precisely because they thought that the lessons of religion would promote social justice. So WRE was promoted in the South by pacifists and anti-racists.
So people on both sides supported it. But after the Supreme Court rulings, weekday religious education had to stop.
Well, yes and no. The court ruled in 1948 that you can't have church-related classes on school property. But 4 years later, it said that you can take kids off campus during the school day for religion classes. And that's still done in many districts. It's called release time religious education.
Is release time as controversial as prayer in schools?
In some places, it has been controversial. But a lot of parents support it. And it seems like the public in general doesn't have a big problem with mixing religious education into the public school day. There was a Gallup poll last year that found that a majority of Americans think there should be daily prayer in school.
This sounds fascinating, Trey. I'm sure it'll get people thinking. Thanks for coming on to talk about this new program.
Thank you, Beth.
Trey Kay is the host of Us and Them, the new installment of the podcast, The Church Lady, is available now on iTunes. To listen to it or get more information, visit our website, wvpublic.org. Monongalia County Schools is adding a propane-powered school bus to its fleet. The Dominion Post reports that the bus will join the school system's fleet this week. Representatives of school bus manufacturer Bluebird gave a presentation on the new bus to the County Board of Education last week. Transportation Director Jeff Meadows said he would like to see the entire fleet eventually converted to propane, but he said that will depend on the first bus's performance and feedback. Kanawha County Schools tested propane-powered buses in June as a pilot project. A 2013 report by a state task force estimated West Virginia could save $3,100 a year for each school bus that runs on propane. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees. We'll be right back.